See, there's something up here on this little platform. Find out who the mischievous people might be today. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Rejoice, he is risen. Everybody got some of this, didn't they? Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Thank you. I see also a little goodie bag. I've never been in a place where I get goodie bags. In other places, if I had to wear a suit and all that stuff, if somebody had to put something like this up there, 16 people would have died in the front row. And I've got... Now, somebody with a real sense of humor, for those of you who are visiting today, I appealed last week, for the breakfast that someone would bring sausage, gravy, and biscuits. I just love that, but I don't want to eat it too often. I said, and none of it showed up. And then somebody that's being really cute today gave me a can of Libby's Country sausage gravy with the Pioneer mix so I can make it myself. So I'm not going to ask for anything anymore. You want gravy? Make it yourself. Thank you very much. Okay.
Maybe it came from somebody that doesn't know how to cook and was trying to help you out.
Okay. He said maybe it came from somebody that just doesn't know how to cook and they're trying to help me out. Will anyone admit to giving me this up here today? Who gave me this? Did you do that? You want it? Here it is in the can. I was thinking homemade gravy. I make gravy off of drippings, you know. And I put the flour and I dribble it around in there. And then I pour the milk in after that. And then I just slowly stir that with pepper, salt and pepper, until I get it the right texture. And then you just pour that steaming white gravy over buttered biscuits or a roll or whatever. And so I make all this, you know, and I'll cook up chicken fried steak for myself or deer meat or whatever it is. And then I just pour that over that. Oh, there's nothing like it, you know, and you just dig into that cream and creamy gravy just dripping, you know. And, can't you just taste it right now? That's good. You want me to end this so we can go eat, right? Okay, so. Yes, and I've been cooking that stuff for years, you know, almost all my life. I started cooking when I was six years old, and I mentioned this before, but, you know, just that was the way my family deal was. My mom was just so, you know, sick all of our lives. So I started at six. And I sure wasn't a good cook then, but I had a little sister that was four, and we had to eat something. So I cooked in a cast iron skillet on an old butane at that time stove, and I had to stand on a mini bucket to get over the stove. And that's where it started. And so since then, I just make up my own recipes and do all that kind of stuff. People don't see me that way, you know. They see me as this big outdoor guy and all that, but. You know, you learn to do all those things. I even wash dishes. Want you to know that. Now, I will admit, in the last few months, I've gotten a little bit lazy. I'm buying paper plates now. I just can't take it anymore. You know, I don't have a dishwasher. I'm the dishwasher, and so it's like I don't want to wash that one plate. You know, so what are you gonna do? Rinse it. You know. But I don't want to do that, so just paper plate. So anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you all that. That's too personal, you know. It really is. It's because I'm wounded that I got a can of gravy and a mix. That's what I want you all to know back there. That's what caused this. Is, you know. I titled this is there's just really not a lot of leeway with Easter, and I try to be creative and do a lot of things. But the Easter message is one you got to stay with the text. You know, it's where we need to be reminded every year, and we need to glorify God through it. So I just titled it, He is Risen, because that's the great statement in this whole passage, this whole thing. And I want to read to you, with you, and this is a New International Version that we're going to be reading from. It's in Matthew 28, verses verses 5 through 6. And the Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, they've gone to the tomb. Violent earthquakes happened. All this stuff has happened. And there's an angel up there. We're going to talk about all this. There's an angel sitting on the stone, this big stone that covered the tomb. Jesus has been crucified and all that. And so we're just going to pick up here, but we'll go into this and talk about this whole story. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus and who was crucified. And he is not here. He has risen." That's what it's all about. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said, "Come and see the place where he lay." And you'll have that up here. And for the sake of time, there was so much I wanted to put in here, and it's like you just can't read that. So I have to paraphrase it. So let's get into this and talk about this. And our first point: Jesus and the cross. You know, the cross of crucifixion. You know, what do we say? I mean, what put him there? And listen, we're shocked when we hear things happening to Christians. And you, as a Christian, you've probably been insulted by somebody. Someone said something pretty messy, tacky, evil to you, done something to you just because you're a Christian. Well, this started back here. Started with Jesus. I mean, really, from the day that he came out. Do you realize he only had an active 3.5-year ministry on earth? That's it. Up until 30, he was working, carpenter's son, learning, training, you know, and whatever. We don't know a lot about his early childhood. All we know is at about 30 years old, Jesus, you know, comes out and he starts and performs that first miracle at Cana of Galilee, and then it starts happening quickly from there. 3.5-year ministry sure had an impact, didn't it? Here we are. Well over 2,000 years later, and still going, wow, that 3.5 years of what happened. So if you think you're not important, if you think that God's not using you in a significant way, you know, look, what does it take? 3.5 years for him? He said, "If you believe in me, you'll do even greater works than this, because I go to the Father." You have no idea the things that Jesus has done through you. The words he's spoken, the attitude, the way he's, you know, some little gift you've given to somebody. You have no idea how it's impacted their life. And you won't know till you get up there and he'll show you. But in the meantime, we come back to his day. Jesus came into a time when the Pharisees ruled. There had been the Maccabean period. Those had finally filtered away, and then the Pharisees and the keepers of the law and the Pharisees, and they looked at it and they said, it is our job to protect the law. However, where they overstepped it, sounds probably like some other people that you've known in life, they said, it's not only our job to protect the law, it's our job to interpret it the way we see fit, and it's our job to explain the law according to our understanding of it. And so they begin to add man-made rules, ordinances, if you want to call it man-made scripture, to the original scripture. For instance, you know, you want to be ceremonially clean and wash your hands to be ceremonially clean. That was a simple process. They added like 60, 70 different steps to just be ceremonially clean, because in their eyes, that's what it took. They didn't stay with the Word of God. Friends, look how many churches through the centuries have done this very thing and added to the Word of God to where they made it to where going to church was just, who wants to go? It's all the rules and regulations. You know, it's all these requirements. You either have to dress a certain way, have your hair done a certain way, you've got to do this, got to do that, got to follow the rules. You have to know this group, but don't associate with that group. I've had to pastor churches like that. You know, and we've laughed about it many times, where one group wouldn't speak to the other group in the same church, and the pastor is in the middle, and if you're friends with this group, then this group's mad at you, and if you talk to them, then that group's mad at you. And friends, listen, that's not the way it's meant to be. And that's the way it was in Jesus' time. They had all this division, and the Pharisees governed everything. And you say, why all this background? Because that's what he walked into. That's what he was born into. That's what he was raised into. So Jesus comes on the scene, and the Pharisees are in control of Jewish society, and the Romans are in control of all that part of the known world. And that's what it was. So you had religious law, and you had Roman law. And then you have Jesus Christ coming in here saying, I fulfilled the law. Oh, yeah, that went over just great. See, know this and say, look at the animosity that comes. And he was talking about God's law. He said, I fulfilled it. Didn't do away with it, but I have fulfilled it. And when you receive me into your heart, you're receiving the law fulfilled, and you're now under grace, not the law. Aren't you glad? If I was under the law, I couldn't be here. I wasn't kidding earlier. Everybody in the church laughs about it, but you know, because I share about it, you know, but I can get the most upset on I-10 just trying to come here on Sunday morning. It just drives me crazy. And I will tell you, I've been back and forth to doctor's visits and all this stuff, and having to take all these, do all this stuff and everything. And here lately, the people have been passing me, and that's 80 miles an hour out there where I'm coming from, okay? And they're passing me like I'm going 5 miles an hour. And they're out of sight, and I can't help it. Isn't this just human nature? The first thing I think is, well, where's the highway patrol now? You know, it's like, oh, I can go 3 miles over the limit, and they're going to pull me over. But here this guy is going 100, and where are you now? You know, you remember that little commercial? Can you hear me now? It's like, where are you now? And then you drive all the way, and you don't see a one. And this happened to me. I'm still, you know, just not too many weeks ago, the truck messed up, and I had to borrow a car. And I'm in a borrowed car to get down here, come over the hill, and right there in comfort. And one of the county guys pulled me over. You know, and I was just, I don't know, I wasn't going very much over, but I was going over because I came down, there's that hill, crossed the bridge, the river, and there's, you're down the hill. Okay, and so you kind of, you know, down a hill you pick up a little bit. I don't know, even on cruise control, it kicks up a little, but it got me, and he pulled me over, but he's a real nice guy. He was a lot bigger than I am, so I was nice to him. But he, you know, he said, you know, you were speeding. I went through all that. And I said, he said, yeah, I'm on my way to church. It's okay to speed if you're going to church. And so got him to laughing and playing with it. And anyway, and he says, you're going to church? And I said, yeah, I'm on my way to church. And he looked at me and said, well, I forgive you. Wasn't that neat? And I said, oh, thank you. And I said, well, I may as well tell you, I'm also the pastor. You know? And he thought that was just as funny as it could be, but he let me off. So anyway, that was a nice thing. But my point is, don't you ever get upset like that? You're just doing a little bitty thing, and all these people out here just seems like they never get, don't you, when they do that to you, don't you wish, hope and pray that a few miles down the road you'll pass them and see that little light behind them, and you're going, yeah, yeah. Never happens. God don't, he won't let you be vindictive that way. So that we're just human. And Jesus came into a time, and you say, there's a point to all this? Yeah. He came into a time being fully God, but fully human. And because he was fully human, he was very real. Religion cannot handle, listen to me, religion cannot handle real. Religion can only handle conformity. And Jesus was real. He talked real. He behaved real. His words, actions, attitude was real. It didn't conform to the religious rules of the Pharisees. If you're going to be religious, you have to conform. If you're going to be a Christian, you've got to be moved with the Spirit. And wherever, as Scripture says, the Spirit moves like the wind blows. You go where He leads you. Christianity is a beautiful thing, but it's not a conformity. You conform to God, but not to man, and not man-made rules and stuff. And so here's Jesus coming in. He's real. He's even healing people on the Sabbath. They considered that work. They'd rather see a person die on the Sabbath that could have been healed, but they'd rather see him die rather than break our law of what we say is work on the Sabbath. Didn't care. They'd lost touch with humanity. So here Jesus is in the cross, the crucifixion, and he comes in the midst of this. And let me tell you something. When you boil all this down, the real reason he was there then and the real reason right now that we're here today is because one single being loved us enough to come here and give his life for us, and that's Jesus Christ. That's the reason we're here. I've heard over the years, I've pastored several churches, and people say, oh, I'm here because I just love the choir. I love the music. I love the whatever, you know. And pastors always hoping that they'll say, I just love the messages, but, you know, that doesn't always happen. But, you know, I love this. It's like, aren't we supposed to be here because we love Jesus? We just love God, and we just can't wait to hear any music, any message, anything, and fellowship with his people that leads us to just love him more. But the reason that we're here and the reason Jesus came was because one being, God the Father, in the presence of Jesus Christ, loved us enough to come here and do what he did. And we're here because he loves us today. One loved us enough to die for us and to walk out of that tomb so that we have life eternal forever and ever, so we have, for all eternity, we can have life in him. If you believe in him, you'll never die. And the cross was listen, you ever thought about it? The cross was designed by the Romans to put to death murderers, thieves, vile, evil, corrupt people. People who violated Roman law. This is why Pilate, they all wanted to let him go. Because he did, Jesus, when he was brought to trial, didn't violate any Roman law. You can't crucify him. He violated what, in the minds of the Pharisees, religious law. That's the only reason they wanted him killed. You ever thought about it? Why was he put up there? He didn't violate the law of the land. He violated the man-made law of the religious people. That's all. And they manipulated Roman law to get him killed. This cross was not designed for rabbis, healers, miracle workers, and it certainly wasn't designed for a savior. It was designed for evil and to do away with evil people in a very evil way. All Jesus ever did was love. Present God's plan of salvation. Heal the sick. Give sight to the blind. And he even raised some people back to life. We just talked last week. Lazarus come forth, and he raised him from the dead. He did all this. He loved God the Father. And Jesus loved God the Father, and he loves you. That's why you're here. That's why he was here, and that's why he's here now in his spirit. He loves you, and no matter what the cost, he was going to love you, and he still loves you, and he loved you all the way to the cross. You know what killed Jesus Christ? We could get in and talk about all the things that was done to him. How when it was, you know, the consent was finally given to the religious leaders. They took a murderer, Barabbas, by the way, over the loving Jesus. That tells you something about sinful human nature, how evil it can become. And then they took him and they beat him. Jesus was beaten half to death before he ever got to the cross. It's a wonder he even made it. And the only reason he made it is because he had God's power in him. You know, and then finally what happened? He had to have someone pick up the cross and carry it for him. There's a real lesson in that I don't have time to go into. But friends, they beat him half to death. And they spit on him. They did everything they could do to him. They put that crown of thorns on him. They just shredded him for what? What Roman law did he break? Who did he kill? Who did he steal from? No one. You know, and we don't always talk about these things on Easter Sunday, but it's like, there's a point to this, and I want you to get it, because it's important. Listen to me. Many of you sitting here right now You've been hit hard in life when you didn't steal, you didn't kill, you didn't murder, you didn't do it, but somebody got you anyway. And I want you to know there's a Savior here that identifies with that. He knows what it feels like. And Jesus cares about you. He has sympathy and He has empathy. He knows what it feels like for this kind of stuff to be, you know, they lied about Him. They said He set Himself up to be king. He is the King of the Jews, not king of the... He didn't say He's going to be king of the all of Rome, any of that kind of stuff. They accused Him of doing all this stuff that He didn't do. They lied. They had people to come give false testimony. Here's one of the things that they really tried to use against the Romans. Get this. They said, Jesus refuses to pay taxes to Caesar. Come on, how far are you going to go with this thing? He's the one that said, give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God's. And they turned and said, He refuses to pay taxes. Well, that'll get the government's attention, won't it? Any government. Yeah, do it to try it today. He refuses to pay taxes. Here they come running. And it was all lies. And even then, nobody was convinced. The Romans weren't. It was strictly a Jewish way of tearing Him apart. Listen to me. Hear what God says in this. Yes, this is about the resurrection. Yes, this is about Christ and what He went through on the cross. It's also about what He's doing for you and me right now, what He's doing and going to do. You've been hit. You've had people accuse you. You have been slandered. You've been falsely accused. And God's on your side. And God knows the difference between what they're saying and what's real. And every time you've ever been hurt, and every time you've taken a lick from somebody else, I want you to know Jesus Christ was standing right there saying, if they do it to the least of these, you, they're doing it to me. And I'll get you through it. So just know that anything you face, anything you go through, it's Jesus has been there. You can't do this job I'm doing as long as I've done it and not have had some pretty rough things said about you, against you, and places I've been in the past. And it used to hurt me a lot when I was younger and didn't get all this. Then I realized one day that if they did it to Jesus' Son, what do you think? You think they're going to do it to you? And you're not even perfect, not even close. He was perfect and they got Him. Try to be an imperfect person and do something for the Lord. So it's just lies and false testimony. You ever had anybody jealous of you? We all have. Jealous of your looks, jealous of your money, jealous of your position, jealous of your title in life, jealous of where you live, jealous. And they talk behind your back and they do all this stuff. I'm going to encourage you to take it in stride and accept it as a part of being a Christian, as part of the ticket. They did it to Jesus. Don't be shocked. Don't be hurt anymore. Let it go. I mean it. Let it go. I'm saying that from my own heart. I've had just about everything imaginable said or done. And it's like, son, you got to go on. Let it go. Forgive them. You don't have to go and put your arm around them every time you see them, but forgive them. And forgiving people, you forgive yourself. I'll tell you something. They lied. They had false testimony. They were jealous. The Pharisees were jealous of Jesus. Did you ever think about that? Why were they jealous of Jesus? With all their public display, they'd pray on street corners. And by the way, remember when they gave money to a poor person? They had people sound trumpets. Can you imagine? Blow the trumpet. I just gave a quarter to this guy. Well, a denarius, whatever. You know, the point being, blow the trumpet. I just, very humbly, gave something to this poor man here. Oh, you. Huh. Doesn't it kind of make you go? Sure it does. They were a cold-blooded bunch of religious leaders who had lost their position. They were feared losing their position. They didn't want to lose their position or their power, and they didn't want to lose their wealth. And they loved it all more than they loved God. And here comes Jesus Christ, and He scared them. And they became jealous of Him because people were following Him. Great crowds assembled. People didn't even want to be near these other guys. Well, I won't just dwell on this. It's just a point being, here's a man on the cross, and he's done nothing. And how many times have you been put on a cross when you did nothing? And I'm going to challenge you with something as we move to the next point, okay? There came a point here where Jesus looked out at him and he said, Father, this is in Luke 23:14. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. I'm going to challenge you this morning to do the same thing in your life. Father, forgive them. Father, I forgive them. They really have no idea what they're doing. What does that mean? If they do it to me, they're doing it to Jesus. They have no idea that's so. I want to challenge you to do one other thing. When Jesus died, and it was all said and done, Joseph of Arimathea came and took him down from the cross. It's empty. I want to give you this Easter challenge. Hope you'll take it up. Get down off the cross. Whatever cross somebody's caused you to be on, whatever suffering, whatever guilt, whatever it is in your conscience and your heart and your mind, whatever you've done, didn't do, they did, whatever. Would you come down off your cross and be free from it this morning? The cross for all of us was only meant for one, and that's Jesus. And so many of us have put ourselves on the cross or allowed somebody else to put us there. Would you let Jesus Christ lift you up and take you off that cross? You don't need to be crucified for something. Even if you're totally guilty, sinful, you can repent of that and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. He does. And get off that cross and walk away. It's meant to be empty. Let me move on. Such wonderful hope in this Easter messages, you know. So they took him to a tomb. Oh, Joseph of Arimathea, bless his heart. He put Jesus in a new tomb. It was his own tomb. He was the faithful. We see several different classes of people involved in this tomb experience, but Joseph went and put Jesus in his own tomb. He was the faithful one. The Pharisees come behind and they have it sealed and guarded. You talk about a scared bunch of boys. Can we have a guard? Yeah, go guard it. You know, they're going to steal him away. So they put a guard. And then what do? They put a seal on it to make real sure that nobody's going to be able to move that stone. So they, you know, sealed it, roped it, put the wax seal. So if it's broken, they know somebody. But they got armed guards there. You know, here's what you see. You see Joseph of Arimathea, the faithful, and then you see the Pharisees, the faithless. And then you see the God of faith show up, and he doesn't pay any attention to what man thinks or does or doesn't think. Isn't this wonderful? God's not worried about what man thinks or doesn't think. God is God. He didn't pay any attention because he's all powerful. So you see the faith and the faithless, the faithful and the faithless, and the all-powerful all showing up here. It's beautiful. I mean, they seal it. They're so scared. Everything, you know, we got him. We got him shut up in his tomb. We hurt him. We put him to death. Now he's quiet. No more of this causing the riots of people, you know, following him, listen to his sermons on the hillside. We've got him in the tomb just where we want him. That was the devil, friends. He was behind it all. He manipulated it all. And he's so dumb. His worst mistake was killing Christ. Should have let him live. Because the devil, see, does not know the future. He had no idea that putting him in that tomb was the biggest mistake of his life. Because coming from the dead, the devil's power is broken. The fear of death is gone. Can I hit you with this? Everything here gets real personal real quick. All of this is happening. I wonder who's tried to seal you up in your own tomb. Who's put a seal on your tomb? Who's tried to stop you from becoming who God put you here to be? Hmm? Maybe it's time you let God roll away a stone and get you out of your own tomb. He's more than happy to do it. He'll do it the same way this happened here, in His Spirit. So let's go from there to the resurrection, and there was a violent earthquake. God really likes to announce His coming. So there's this violent earthquake. Everything is just shattered. The guards fall down. These powerful, tough guards. Yeah, we're big Roman soldiers. They weren't so big then. And it says they fell down like dead men. They were so scared they couldn't move. They curled up like little babies on the ground. Have you ever thought about this? And an angel of the Lord came, and he came down and rolled away the stone. An angel of the Lord. But have you ever caught this part? The angel of the Lord. We talk about the angel of the Lord rolling away the stone. And he sat on it. Do you see something here? You miss this if you're not real careful and catch all these insights of Scripture. We know the angel rolled away the stone. But have you ever thought that he went and sat on it? Do you know what it was? It was the mockery. It was a mockery of man's self-made power. That we got a stone here and we're all powerful and we sealed this thing. And the angel just come and rolls it back and sits on it and say, guess what? Don't you see it? It was God's power showing it through the angel. You put this big old stone here and you sealed it. Well, I'll just come and roll it back and my angel will sit on top of it and say, take that. And it put man in his place and put God in his. See there? He took the things a man meant for evil and sat on it. He said, that's how little this is in the eyes of God. Why don't you let him roll the stone away and come on out and quit living like the dead and get the joy of the Lord back in your heart and be alive? Instead of an angel, God sending His Holy Spirit, and He'll sit on the stone and say, come on out, and He'll call your name, just like Jesus, and come forth, start living. Get happy in the Lord again. Leave the past in the past, let your sins go, it's gone. You know, you're a new creation in Christ. Start living it. Now, I like this stuff. There's the angel sitting on the stone that man thought it so big, and the angel sitting there saying, how tough are you now, guys? That's the power we have for us, friends. That's the power of God. It's right here for us, for every one of us. Call on it. Believe in it. Live in it. Walk in it. The angel had real contempt for the so-called craftiness of man. That's great stuff. Anyway, I got to move on. I like it so much I don't want to leave it, but I have to because you got to go. What are we going to say here? This. I am concluding, by the way. Not man and not the devil and not anything on heaven or earth could keep Jesus in that tomb. No Romans, no Jewish religious leaders, nothing. The stone rolled away and Jesus came out after the big earthquake. He's risen. I want to say to you as we're closing, never let any man, the devil, anyone or anything ever make you afraid or ever keep you in a tomb. Come off that cross, walk out of that tomb, and you rise up and do what Jesus did. That you come out of that tomb. You see, His coming out of that tomb, He overcame death. He defeated the devil, and He's here to defeat the devil in your life, and He's here to overcome death in your life. And there's many of you, many of God's people, walking around on your feet, but you're just dead inside. You've been so hurt. You've been so without the Lord. Something happened to you. Maybe you don't trust churches, organized church. Maybe you don't trust pastors. I don't know what it is. Somebody hurt you. This stuff happened. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here to lift you up from the dead. He's here to make you alive. And as the angel said to them right there, don't you be afraid, because Jesus Christ is, he's not here, he is risen. He's not here in this tomb. Jesus Christ has risen. So get off your cross. Get out of your tomb. The stone's been rolled away. Come out and into the light and live in happiness and peace and salvation with the risen Jesus Christ. He has power over the world, the flesh, the devil, and he can forgive you and does forgive you. He will heal you. He will cleanse you. Jesus Christ died for you, rose for you, and he's right here with you and will never, ever leave you or forsake you. He is risen. Amen? Amen. Oh, yeah. He is. Okay. Just bow your head with me and we'll pray. Father, help us, God. Help us to receive you right now. If anyone in this room has never said, Jesus, I believe in you. I want you in my life. I pray you'll help them to do so now. Would you do it now? Just ask him into your heart. He's done all this for you. Ask him to come into your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I repent. I'm so sorry. Forgive me my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And he will right now. If I can help you in any way, if any of us can help you in any way, take this moment. We'll just hold for you. You come up here and we'll pray with you. We'll help you. I'll come to your table. We're not going to embarrass you, do anything like that. Just want you to ask Jesus in your heart. Do it right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Right now, I believe. And some of you need to just let go of some things. Get off the cross. Somebody accused you of something or something happened in your life and you just let yourself be hanging up there dying every day. Get off. Let Christ lift you up and say, I love you, I forgive you. Get off this thing. It was only meant for one, not you. So just, Jesus was there, it's done. Come down. There's some things you need to leave at the cross, then leave them. Leave your past there. Let it go. This is a new day. And some of you, how long has it been since you've been happy in your heart with the Lord? God can restore that joy. As it says in Scripture, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. God can renew a right spirit within you. That's why I said, renew a right spirit within me. Come on out. Start smiling in your heart again. Start living. Be alive. Enjoy God's creation. Enjoy the Lord for all that he is and all that he's done to make you happy and make life blessed for you. God, most of all, as we pray in this prayer, Lord Jesus, you came and you died. You suffered so terribly, so you know every time we hurt and have pain, have struggles, you know what it's like. But, oh Lord, you overcame it, and through your power we overcome it. Greater is Jesus in us than he that's in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Our God will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You came out. You're alive. You're Lord of lords. You're King of kings. And you're our Savior, our God. But you also called us your friends. God, you love us so much. And we love you for it. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for being here.